Boy, when you sing some of those songs and those words come actually from your mouth, I mean, it just, to me, speaks to the truth that we all need to hear in our lives. We're in a sermon series right now where we're talking a lot about the truth that we need to hear in our lives. We're talking about what God speaks to us. What is it that God speaks to us? We talked the first Sunday in the sermon series about that each and every one of us is called by God, that each and every one of us has this like God-given purpose in our lives that we're meant to fulfill. Last week we talked about that God loves us, that we are loved by God. I think that every single one of us, we all have something about us, we have things about us that are unique just to us, right? Things that make you uniquely you, that no one else in the world shares with you. They are just things about you, like your fingerprints. No one else has the exact same fingerprint that you have, right? The new software and stuff with facial recognition. Nobody's face is exactly like your face. I think to myself, well, that's good, right? Good for everybody else. Now, if I'm with my mom, people will come up to me and say, you look just like your mom. If I'm with my dad, people will say, you look just like your dad. But the reality is I don't look just like either one of them. I favor probably both of them in different ways, but my face does not look exactly like my dad's. No one's ever actually gotten us confused. My face does not look exactly like my mom's. There are things about you that make you uniquely you. No one else shares them with you. There are things about you that you share with some other people. Maybe the color of your hair is very, very much the same as the color of someone else's hair. You may have the same color eyes as someone else. There may be like parts of your personality that are very much like the parts of someone else's personality. There are things that you share with other people. And then I believe there are things that are the same no matter who you are. There are things about all of us that are true, every single one of us. One of the first things I believe is true for every single one of us, for every person who lives and breathes and walks the face of this earth, I believe every single person needs to be loved. And every single person needs to know that they are loved. Every person. So we talked about that last week. We talked about how God loves us and that everything God does, he does from this place and this origin of love, right? And that as recipients of that love, then we are called to a holy obligation or our privilege or blessing to love one another, to be known for the way that we love other people. So that we look at other people in the world, we see them not as through their faults or what we don't appreciate about them or what drives us crazy about them, but we see them as people who are loved by God, who need to be loved just as much as we need to be loved. I also believe that it is true that we all need to know that we belong. That we have a group, we have a people or a place that when we are with those people or we are in that place, we feel like this is a place I belong. I belong in this place. I don't have to fit in. I don't have to try. I just belong here. This is my spot. These are my people. When I go over to my mom's house, don't knock on the door. Don't ring the doorbell. Just walk in the house. Got my spot. Got my people. I belong there. And all of us need that. I believe every single person needs a place and a people. When they are there or with those people, they can say, this is the place where I belong. I belong here. So before I say what I'm about to say, I want to make a little tiny disclaimer. I don't usually like to put a huge separation between those things that are sacred and those things that are secular, because I think we've done a lot of damage in our history in doing that. And I believe with all my heart that the sacred and the secular are much more intertwined than we give them credit for being. But for the sake of making a strong point this morning, I think that if we're not very intentional and we're not very careful in our churches, that the places in our world that we call secular can tend to get this more right than the places we call sacred. this understanding that people need to be loved and that people need to belong. We are wired this way. We are wired to need a place and a people where we feel that we belong. And sometimes those places considered secular, understand this. If we're not careful and very intentional, better than the spaces and the places we call sacred. I'm going to give you some examples of that. One is, did you know that Starbucks actually has a mission statement? I think I've told you this in the past, but listen to their mission statement. Starbucks, to inspire and nurture the human spirit, one person, one cup, and one neighborhood at a time. Who knew when you were paying all that money for a cup of coffee that you were actually inspiring the neighborhood, right? And nurturing it by paying that much money for coffee. Who knew that? A few weeks ago, I joined Planet Fitness. They gave me a little thing, and then it says, in our community, you always belong. Now, I'm going to tell you something. When I'm at Planet Fitness, I don't always feel like I belong there. Just kind of got to own that. Every now and then when I have to walk up to somebody and say, excuse me, can you show me how that works? And they go, sure. Here you go. Not really sure I feel like I belong all that much in that space, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Listen to this. This is incredible. CrossFit has a mission statement that when I saw this, just listen to it. It says, we understand the unique needs of our members, and we strive to meet those needs each and every day. We hold one another accountable as family and friends, and we share in each other's triumphs and frustrations alike. Now catch this last sentence of their mission statement. And at the end of the day, it's our passion for our people that sets us apart from other gyms. It's our passion for our people that sets us apart from other gyms. As human beings created by and in the image of God, we are wired to belong. Every person in every home, in every car, in every school, in every office building, in every chair and every pew is wired to know and believe that they belong. So this morning, I want to invite you to hear the scripture through that lens of truth that God wants you to hear about where you belong and to whom you belong. So we're going to be reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. You are invited to remain seated and to listen to God's word of truth for you this day and every day of your life. But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles so that though they may, malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you join me in prayer? God, we thank you always for the words that you speak to us. And we pray, God, that this morning these words would pierce our hearts. Help us to believe the truth that you want us to believe and then live in it. For we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. When something is designed and created, no one knows that creation better or more intricately than its designer and its creator. Do you catch what I'm saying? So if someone designs and makes something, You or I, who did not design it or make it, could try to work on it. We might do a pretty good job, but no one is going to know it as intricately and in such detail and precision as the very person who designed it and created it, right? You and I are designed and created by God, and no one is ever going to know you as deeply, as intricately, as passionately as God knows you. He knows everything about you and loves you, knows everything about you and calls you his own, knows your need to be loved, created you that way, designed you that way, knows your need to have a place and a people to belong, designed you and created you that way. God knows you, knows your heart, knows your thoughts, knows your mind, knows your spirit, knows everything about you, all the good, bad, all the ugly, and loves you, and says, this is where you belong. I am who you say I am. You are who I say you are. God, we are who God says we are. You and I were designed and created by God. The Bible tells us that God himself began knitting us together in our mother's womb. From the moment of conception, God is doing this knitting together of the child in that mother's womb. You and I were knitted together in our mother's womb by God himself, created you, designed you, and you belong to him. God is creating each person to be who they are and what they are. God, our designer and creator, knows us best, loves us more. And not only does God know our need to belong, he created us that way. So for me, I could stand here and say to you over and over and over again, you belong to God. You belong to God. You belong to God. So why, if it's being told to you, why, if it's in Scripture repeatedly, why don't we believe it? I think it's because we're not listening, or we're listening to the wrong, bless you, wrong voices, right? We're either not listening at all, or we are listening to the wrong voices. All of us grow up with these narratives in our head, with these stories in our head about us, that whether they're true or not, we begin to believe them. Some people get to grow up in families that tell them every single day, you are loved and you are worthy and you belong to God. Some people aren't born into families that do that. And so a narrative begins in their head that maybe they're not worthy of love. And that narrative gets repeated. Like, even if, and years ago when I was in student ministry, we listened to a psychologist. He talked to us and he said, children can be born into a family where they tell them every single day how loved they are and how worthy they are and that God loves them. And yet when they go out into the world speaks another truth, another lie to them, speaks a lie to them. And that narrative forms in their minds. Forms in their minds. It does it to all of us. I don't know anyone who hasn't struggled with some of these narratives that either the world and society has spoken to them, or some person has, or they have spoken to themselves. I had a student in my office several times because she was taking a foreign language class and she was really struggling with this foreign language class. And one day, she got kind of confused about what day something was due, and she came early with it and had it all wrong, and the verbs weren't conjugated correctly. And before I finish this story, let me be sure to go on record as saying, almost every teacher I've ever known is a person who does that because they love kids, and they want them to learn, and they speak truth and goodness and love into the students who walk into their classroom. But not this teacher on that day, okay? So the girl tries to explain, I'm sorry, I brought it early and I've got this all wrong and I thought it was this day and it's really that day. And the teacher said to the student, it doesn't matter what day of the week it is. You're stupid every day of the week. So that kid came from a home where her parents told her regularly that she was loved by them and by God and by family. And the struggle that ensued after those words were spoken to her There's power in these narratives, whether they are good or whether they are bad. Unfortunately, there's power in these narratives, whether they are true or whether they are a lie. There's power in them. And so I believe wholeheartedly that it is time for us to begin speaking this narrative into our own lives and into the lives of the people around us. The truth of God, not the lies of the world, or not the lies of the people who would speak things to us that go against and contradict what God has to say about you. You're not who the world says you are. You are who God says you are. You and I do not belong to the world. We belong to God. The reason we are called aliens and exiles is because this is not our permanent home. This is our temporary place. We belong to God. You belong to God. And so when those narratives come in, or people speak those lies to you and they begin to hold a place of power and take up residence in your heart and in your spirit, start speaking truth to yourself and to the people around you. Why does God say to us, we are chosen and we are holy and we are dearly loved? Why do you have all this grace that you didn't have before that you have now? So that you can be an example in the world of God's mighty acts of salvation, of God's mighty acts of grace, so that you can go out into the world, and when you are surrounded by people or you are with another person who the world has lied to, or who has lied to themselves to say, I don't love, I'm not worthy of love, I'm a terrible person. You can speak truth to them because you are living as a person of truth, of God's truth. You are who God says you are, and you belong to God. My daughter and I were in a dressing room in a department store this past week, and there were a lot of people in there. And I was listening to the conversations that people were having as they were trying on clothes. Creepy, I know. But, you know, you're all right in there. It's not like you can't not hear, right? And I turned to Anna and I was like, people are so hard on themselves. Just listen. And when we hear these things, this is what we're being told in 1 Peter, is that you can then be examples so that you can go out and proclaim the good news. You can go out and proclaim the mighty acts of God, our creator, our designer. You can live into and lean into, not only for yourself, but for the people that you know and the people around you. And then when we all begin to believe this, like really believe it, not just hear it, not just read it, but believe it. Man, I am a child of God. I am who He says I am. And live into it fully. It's going to change some stuff. We get to live in the narrative of truth and have power in that rather than living in the narrative of a lie. So I want to do something with you guys this morning. It's not really in the notes. I want you to speak out loud with me. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. Speak out loud with me. I am who He says I am. I am who He says I am. Let's pray. God, thank you that we can stand firm in that truth. Help us not to just speak it, but to believe it, God, to believe it with every fiber of our being, that we are your chosen people, that you love us, that we are who you say we are. And then help us, God, not to just keep that to ourselves and create a club, but to go out, God, and spread that message throughout the world. You are a child of God. You are who God says you are, just as I am. So give us courage, God, when we need courage. Give us what we need when we need it to be people who live into this truth and then are examples of this truth. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.